You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Keith Alexander is in the studio with us now. We're going to get to him directly. I want to thank again Sean Bergen, newest member of our team here, for his contributions tonight during the first hour. We look forward to working with him more in the year to come. We're going to be looking back on the year that was here in just a few minutes. But before we get Keith on, and Keith reminded me of this letter that we posted to the website a few days ago during the last commercial break, I just want to say again, and I wrote some of these down, and while Keith is standing here waiting in the wings, as I have said, each of the last 2 weeks, this will be the third week in a row now, what a blessing to be able to immerse ourselves each week in the reading of correspondence sent in from listeners across the country and around the world. From the biggest cities to the smallest towns, never ceases to amaze me how widespread this audience is. And as I said, you know, it would not surprise me if your next-door neighbor it was a listener to the Political Cesspool. It just seems as though we're everywhere now. Christmas cards. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. All of the notes and cards that were sent into the show this week, let me tell you how moving that was for me and for us. And from just to read the postmark where all of this correspondence comes in from, whether it's questions, letters, notes of goodwill, contributions, I'm just going to rattle off just a few places from which Political Cesspool listeners wrote in this week. Linden, Michigan, Blanco, Texas, Hazard, Kentucky, Kingston Springs, Tennessee, Chicago, Illinois, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Cordova, Tennessee, right here by Memphis, Granite City, Illinois, Marietta, Georgia, Folsom, Pennsylvania, Bethpage, New York, Reno, Arkansas, Sherwood, Arkansas, Montgomery, Alabama, West Palm Beach, Florida, Silver Springs, Maryland, and on and on and on. It's just outstanding. And it's outstanding to be able to be here with you. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going to read this very quickly because this applies to all of us, to me, to Keith, to Eddie, to Sam, to Winston, to Scoop, and everybody else who helps with this show. I got what I think is probably the most heartfelt and perceptive letter last week that I've ever read. And I've gotten some good ones, but this one comes in from a listener in Central Florida, and he writes this. Dear James Edwards, and I want people to listen to this because this guy nails it. He understands what it is like for us to do this show. There are only a handful of people who work as hard as you do, and when he is talking about me, let me say that he is talking about all of the people here on the staff. Work as hard as you do to save our people from genocide and extinction, and in the meantime, parasitical exploitation. However, you are the only one who creates an exciting contemporary 3-hour weekly radio show. Come rain, shine, wife, babies, trips, holidays, etc., you're always there. You don't have a professional support staff of 10, 20, 5, or even 1. You have a handful of unpaid volunteers who do help, but they do not relieve you of your work. This isn't a pity party. Rather, I want you to know how much your work is appreciated and how valuable you are. Equally profound to all of us is the mismatched miracle that the Political Cesspool is. One man with 4 assistants versus the legion of highly paid prostitute correspondents who are still able to make a dent in the way that people think. Money counts, and the total money collected and spent funding the enemies of our people to end our people probably tops $1 trillion annually when you factor in television news, newspapers, magazines, State Farm white doofus moments, Hollywood movies that belittle whites, college president speeches against whites, the budget of the United States Justice Department to selectively enforce legislation against whites, and on and on. Rush Windbag alone earned $70 million to spew his misdirection and distraction poison. $1 trillion annually to destroy whites versus the Political Cesspool. Look at what you have all been able to accomplish. The three things that you have on our side are a tiny band of brothers dedicated to the end, mountains of evidence proving that you are right, and a nagging feeling inside most of our people that we are headed for hell on earth. That's it. Little to no money, little to no access to the big guns. Given the frame of the battle and the scope of our adversary's brainwashing of our people, it's an absolute miracle that you're reaching as many people as you are. for you to have knowingly entered and stayed in that battle for 10 years demonstrates a brutal stubbornness and extreme courage. On top of that, you do it with a grace that exudes an outward optimism that denies our would-be genociders the pleasure of seeing our despair. Moreover, you withhold a well-deserved rhetorical butchering of our shirking, cheap, selfish, lazy, worthless white brethren for whom you have made such a cosmic sacrifice. And the crowning insult is that you stoically endure, is that so many whites are so stupid as to not only appreciate you, but to take their own enemies' side against you. In other words, you all knock yourselves out against incredible odds for people who either don't help or actively work against you. This is why I support the political cesspool. That comes in from a listener in Central Florida. The most amazing and touching letter that I think, or at least one of them that I've ever received. And it is letters like that that pour in each week from all around the country and around the world that make this incredible struggle that Keith and Eddie and myself and the others associated with this show, it makes that struggle bearable. And I would like to remind you folks that we are now, 4 days before the end of the year. We are in the last days of our fourth quarter fundraising drive. The home stretch, and we need your help. You know, people, I had a guy tell me one time, you know, he said, you know, think of how many millionaires there are just in the city of Memphis, Tennessee alone. How many millionaires that any one of them could fund the show for a year and never miss the money. And we've had some people with major money flirt with giving us an infusion of cash. It has never panned out. Okay, for whatever reason, it has never panned out. Either we wouldn't trim ourselves and adulterate our message, or they just had a change of heart. But for whatever reason, we've never had a guy just drop a lot of money to help make our work a little less stressful. What we have had are people from around the world give us $10, $20, $100, $200. These are big contributions to us, and that's what's kept us on the air, and we need your help. We need you to donate before the end of the month to help realize the visions that we have for 2015. We'll talk more about that. And we're going to let Keith take over this show right after this. But in reading this guy's email, or rather it was a letter, a typed letter that he sent in, a song came to mind. And while you're opening up your heart to hopefully give to this show, we're going to let Maestro cue up the song to take us into break, and then we're going to cover a lot more news on the flip side. Take it away, Maestro.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, getting right back down to business. I want to welcome now, a little late. You know, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. That's Keith Alexander. No, I'm just kidding. I asked Keith because of the break.
I came exactly when you told me to.
No, I'm playing with him. Because we had Sean Bergen with a live report from New York. Again, for the second
week. I got bumped.
No.
That's all right. I'll make way for a better man.
No, well, that's not the case. But we are excited to have Sean with us, and we look forward to that. Well, speaking of the story that he called in to report, Keith, you know, the one thing that I kept thinking, and you share with me your thoughts about this. Now, we're seeing how these cops are being villainized. And we know, as I mentioned with Sean, that, you know, they're putting their lives on the line to try to go into these black neighborhoods and keep the blacks from harming each other, but yet the cops are the bad guys. The cops are the ones that are the, you know, recipients of this anti-white hatred. And I was thinking, you know, the fact of the matter remains, if we had a racially homogenous nation, you wouldn't even need police officers. Now, am I painting with too wide of a brush? Now, certainly there would still be some crime. There would still be some crimes, particularly in the bigger cities. But if we were denied all these benefits of diversity and multiculturalism, you know, like black-on-white rapes and violence and things like that, if we gave up all of those benefits and we had a racially homogenous society, I don't think we would need policing. You know, I think for the vast majority, our people would police themselves, particularly if we were well-armed and proficient in the use of self-defense mechanisms such as the right to bear. But, you know, I was looking. My friend went to Kansas City to do a job this last week, and he was driving through northern Arkansas, and, you know, places like Ravenden and some of these small towns in Arkansas that are 100% white. I guarantee you there is no need for a cop in those cities.
Well, let me tell you, I think that may be just a bit of an exaggeration, but here's what would obviously be doable. We could do like the old Britain before they suffered the onslaught of multiculturalism. We could have had bobbies who went unarmed except for nightsticks and things like that, and they would have been sufficient to police this nation. I feel certain of that. You know, diversity is nothing but a problem. Ann Coulter said one time, where has diversity ever been experienced where it was not a major problem? It is. And furthermore, these people that profess to celebrate diversity want to eliminate racial diversity at every turn. They basically want us homogenized into the blender of multiculturalism, where we all come out khaki colored, James.
That's right, and I'll tell you, you know, of course it was a little bit of hyperbole in that we wouldn't need any policing whatsoever, but compared to what we have now, where you basically just have, you know, police states in places like New York and in Ferguson, you know, you certainly wouldn't need that. You know, I think, like the good old days, you'd need maybe a constable, a marshal, you know, a town sheriff.
Well, remember they had that movie, I think it was back in the 70s or the late 60s, called Fort Apache? About Fort Apache, you know, the police station in the middle of a slum, where basically the police were besieged 24/7.
Right.
Well, this is what we're having. And furthermore, I've really been entertained this past week with the crawfishing and the backtracking done by de Blasio, by the Obama administration, by Holder and others. They really don't want to take responsibility for the fruits of their own labors. They're the ones that basically started the theme that the police are unjustly killing young black men. Well, when people started believing that out in the streets, black people in particular, and started acting on it by doing what they did in New York and killing policemen, well, suddenly, you know, their hands are clean and their hearts are pure. De Blasio and people like Holder and Obama, and they want to disclaim any connection between their inflammatory words and the inflammatory actions that have followed like the night follows today, James.
Well, and let me follow up on this, Keith, to say that we wouldn't need this level of policing, to say the very least, if we lived in a racially homogenous society. I would also say this, and of course, again, this would never happen, and I mentioned this in a way with Sean, but, you know, according to the black community and these, you know, anti-white zealots, you know, whites are the cause of all the ills of minorities around the world. Whites from day one just existed to oppress and to genocide and to enslave minorities. You know, we're the reason that they can't get jobs. We're the reason they have low IQs and poor impulse control. We're the reason they are how they are.
They have much higher incarceration rates.
All of that. Yeah, we're the reason they commit crimes. You know, any ills that they have, it's the result of the way whites have treated them. You know, never mind the fact that we give them preferential treatment in the forms of affirmative action, quotas, set-asides. Never mind the fact that we have this pathological altruism many whites do that we would rather give to them than to our own kind. Never mind all of these things. Never mind reality. Okay, let's give it to them. All right, we're so bad. Let's separate. We'll go our way. You go your way. We'll have a racially homogenous state to where we won't be able to oppress you any longer. You can live amongst your own kind. They wouldn't really want that, would they, Keith?
No, because there's a parasite-host relationship. Don't kill the dog or all the fleas will die. You would find that if you split America proportionately into a black section and a white section and maybe a Hispanic section, the black section in particular would be clamoring to cross the border into the white area, or else they would be protesting nonstop for payments, call them reparations, welfare, whatever, from the white community, flowing from the white community to the black community, and the Hispanics would be doing it at a somewhat lesser rate, but nonetheless the same parasite-host relationship exists. You know, don't kill the dog or all the fleas will die. And they know that. It's a hard truth.
It's a shakedown. It's a shakedown. All they're interested in is shaking down. They don't really believe it. I mean, they do have a lot of pent-up white hatred for whatever reason, and they use this as an excuse to justify their, you know, savage actions.
Well, but, it's called envy and jealousy.
Well, I mean, there's that too.
Well,
listen, it's just, as we say, race relations throughout the course of recorded history can be summed up in one word. That word is conflict. It's always been the rule. That rule will not change. I mean, you could certainly do things to bring people together to the extent that they can be brought together, but no multicultural nation has ever existed or withstood the test of time. America will be no different. You see America fracturing along racial lines. The divide is getting wider. A lot of that is as a result, of course, of the media and the government, but nevertheless, you know, if we said, okay, we're so bad, we'll go on our, you know, they wouldn't want that to happen. The shakedown opportunities would cease to exist. And then, you know, wherever they're left is going to end up looking like Haiti.
Well, you know, in Memphis, for example, the Democratic Party, which, and in Memphis, Democrat means black, Republican means white, is losing elections despite the fact that they outnumber the white population 65% to 35%. And why this is happening is because they have managed to drive all the moneyed people out of the Democratic Party, i.e. the white contingent of liberals. Even the white liberals now are washing their hands, at least in a place like Memphis, and you have all of these black politicians with their hands out and nobody with pockets reaching into them to fill those hands anymore. So consequently, they are feckless. They can't win an election in a town where they have a 65 to 35% advantage.
So there's all of that, and again, that's just common sense. Of course, that's the common sense, the likes of which you won't find on any other program or network, but that's why the political cesspool exists, to fill this void. I haven't heard any such commentary anywhere else, and it's just a logical conclusion, those questions and those realities that we just put forward. But I'll tell you what's
just... It's like the emperor's new clothes, James. It's like the child telling the emperor what should be obvious to everyone.
Well, what should be obvious to everyone is that there is a great disconnect and a lack of critical thinking with some of these protesters and the way things are. We really got to move off of this. I mean, this is the biggest story in the country, and that's why we've had Sean Bergen on for the better part of 2 hours in the last 2 weeks, respectively. I want to cover one more thing, and then we got to Keith's got some stories we want to get to, and we're going to do a top 10 countdown in the third hour. Hey, the CFCC chat is up, cfcc.org. Go there. I'll remind you in just a second. cfcc.org.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, very quickly, folks, I want to remind you one more time, and I did just before the break, the live chat, listener chat, for those of you who may be tuned in on the internet this evening as opposed to the AM, FM affiliate stations. You can join other political cesspool listeners online at cfcc.org. I had posted something about that at about 5 o'clock, and there were some technical difficulties, I believe, with the chat room. People were unable to leave comments, but it is now up and running. You know, we used to do this every week. A couple of years ago, we did it every week, and we would have just dozens and dozens of people in there. We did it a couple of weeks ago. And trying to get this, hopefully, on a regular set schedule again, so we can enjoy that online fellowship and community. Well, cfcc.org, log in, and the chat is working now. We want to thank Kyle Rogers and the Council of Conservative Citizens for hosting this tonight. Always fun. I'll try to boogie over there in the next commercial break, but you can meet me there, cfcc.org. All right, Keith, very quickly, we've got to cover some more news, but this was mentioned in passing with Sean Bergen in the first hour. Very near Ferguson, in the little town that borders Ferguson, Berkeley, Missouri, on the night before Christmas Eve, so this would have been December the 23rd, there was once again another one of Barack Obama's sons, another black youth, and he has
Cosby kids.
One of the Cosby kids. He has a confrontation with a white police officer, draws his gun on him. Now, this is all caught on video camera. The security cameras there at the gas station, draws his gun on the cop. The cop drops him, kills him. Obviously, a justifiable action. Well, 200 of the local
Cosby kids,
the denizens of the urban undertow, 200 of them descended upon this gas station and proceeded to do exactly what they did in Ferguson. Now, If that is not a justifiable shooting, when someone draws a gun on a police officer, and if that's not a justifiable shooting, then there is no such thing. What were these lame brains there to do other than just look for an excuse to act out?
Well, what was the gunman thinking? My gosh, you draw down on a cop. You know, how many times, how much experience do you have to know that that's not a good idea? You know, is common sense, you know, no longer available to people that live in the ghetto? I don't know. It's just, who in the world would draw down on a cop and not expect to, you know, get their brains blown
out? Well, that's one thing, but what about these 200, it was estimated 200 blacks, you know, came to this gas station and started rioting again?
Yeah, and that's
as if there was some injustice?
Yeah, I know. You have film that shows that this guy drew down on a policeman with a real live gun. This wasn't a toy gun or anything. This was a show-enough shooting gun, okay, with bullets and lead and everything else in it. And lo and behold, you would think that he'd gunned down a toddler in his crib, the way that the, no pun intended about the crib, you know, there in Berkeley, Missouri. This is, you know, right, you just shake your head in bemusement. What is there ever such a thing as a justifiable homicide by a policeman shooting a black assailant? Apparently there isn't. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It's always going to be treated as if it were some type of horrific injustice.
The media didn't sink its teeth into this. Of course, this martyr, this saint that got killed by the white cop, he was foolish to martyr himself on the night before Christmas Eve. That's a bad news period. He didn't get a chance to really, you know, become deified like Saint Brown and Saint Martin and Saint
Eric
Garner, right? But the media said this is not the same as the Michael Brown situation, and that, you know, he drew a gun, so it was a justifiable shooting. But in you know, even that annoyed me, Keith, because it really wasn't any less of a justifiable shooting? I mean, yes, it's true that Michael Brown didn't have a gun on him, but it's also equally true that he disobeyed a police officer's orders, charged a police officer, started punching the officer in the head, and reached for his gun. So, yes, he was unarmed, as they like to remind us, but that's no less justifiable of a shooting than this one. But the media basically is saying that, okay, you know, this one was justified, but the others aren't. You know, we're going to stick to the narrative on these other ones.
Well, look.
The narrative's all wrong.
Michael Brown was also a 6'4", almost 300-pound individual, okay? If somebody that size attacked me, I'd be looking for an equalizer. In fact, that's why firearms were invented. I've heard the old expression we have down here in the South that God didn't make all men equal, but Colonel Colt did. That's why
that's right.
You need guns. If you're a normal-sized person and a behemoth attacks you, you're going to have to do something or else you can be beaten to death. And believe me, I'm sure that Michael Brown would be just the fellow to do it had he had the opportunity, had he not been shot. Now, I'm not going to let somebody get far enough to find, you know, I, quite frankly, I would have shot him before he broke my eye socket, before he clobbered me. If I saw him balling up his fists and coming at me, you know, the gun would have discharged right at that point.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, again, common sense, but common sense in the media and certainly the minority community never
never the twain shall meet.
Doesn't always go hand in hand. Anyway, I saw that, and, you know, I guess, you know, obviously it's a justifiable shooting, but the two things that you take from that are, you know, that 200 blacks turned out to pretend to be aggrieved over that as if there was some sort of injustice needs to be mentioned, and that the media basically said, okay, this one's okay, but the other ones are still unjustified.
Well, remember that sign that we saw? That it was on some posting that we had where some young black guy had a sign around his neck saying, no black mother should have to worry about her son being killed the next time he robs someone.
That's what, well, you know, and we thought that was a joke. You know, even I thought that, but that is how...
That's how they work.
That's how
they roll, folks. That's the mindset. There's apparently nothing wrong with jacking somebody, robbing them, mugging them, threatening their life with a firearm or otherwise. But it is, you know, you've broken manners in a serious way if you are a policeman and you've been attacked by somebody in that fashion and you shoot them.
And it's a shame. It's a shame for the blacks out there who try to live a decent life. It is. But I'll tell you,
get tarred with the same brush.
Well, but the thing is, though, I still must say that the only solution is a peaceful separation if you really want to end racial discord. Now, it would certainly be a detriment. Separation would certainly be a detriment to blacks.
But these things show is that there's no situation so absurd that they won't make it an occasion for a full-blown official grievance.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. You can't even shop in Memphis anymore. Now, they've ruined, how many, 3 or 4 malls here over the years in the last couple of decades?
Well, they just don't. Remember this past week, they had an event at Wolf Chase Gallery, the most upscale enclosed mall in the greater Memphis area. It's not just in the ghetto. It's not just in the, you know, suburbs or in, you know, places in the inner city that you would think would be safe, you know, bohemian districts, upper middle class enclaves and things like this. It's way out in the suburbs at the toniest enclosed mall in the Memphis area.
And 250 youths basically just started a riot inside the mall the week before Christmas. Now, this is a mall. I went to that mall. I wasn't there at the time, but I went with my wife and 2 young children, aged 4 weeks. Right, well, 2 months and 4. But, you know, we didn't go that night, but we could have been there. You know, my wife won't even go. She's scared to go to these malls and shopping centers. We went to Oak Court Mall today, Keith, and we integrated the place. And let me tell you something. It's just, well, you know, it'd be one thing if it was just, okay, people of a different skin color who, you know, acted just like us. But we were in there today to do some returns. This is another mall in a fairly nice part of town. And, you know, just thug-looking young blacks cussing, you know, being as loud as they can, as obnoxious as they can. I felt very unsafe.
Of course, and profane as they can. And see, this vilifies, and this is unfair to there are a large number of black people who are civil and decorous
but
and
those
well-behaved.
People,
but they, those people are not speaking out.
That's the point. And that's the thing. They have got to be able to understand why decent white people like myself, who want to keep his family at an arm's length from this so-called culture, believe the way they do. You know, I don't want my family to be around that. I don't want to put, you know, we know that they commit a vast disproportionate amount of crime.
You know, the black people we were talking about, the higher caliber black people, they don't want their children exposed to this either. And it's,
where are those people?
On the other hand, they feel some type of crazy solidarity with the thugs.
Well, it is what it is, and it's not getting any better. It's only getting worse. These people, the malcontents, the worst part of the black community, have been emboldened by the government and by the media, and it's only getting worse, and they're only getting more violent, and we're going
to
take a break.
Come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Thank you. Welcome back to Get On the Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so you know, on this radio program, what we do, and what Scoop was talking about earlier, at the end of the first hour, he was talking about direction of the show. I mean, certainly should go without saying, I want to be clear that this show is not changing direction in any way whatsoever. We're going to continue to talk about race, racial issues, racial realities. We're going to continue to talk about Jewish power and influence, and it's effects on our society. That's the bread and butter of this show. That's the show's two signature issues. We will never retreat from those issues at all or tone it down at all. No more, no less. We will continue.
No retreat, no surrender, no apology.
But what Scoop was talking about is he would like, his vision is to have more live on the scenes reporting and to feature Sean Bergen more. And of course, I think that will be a great asset, and that we will do that more often. Not every week, but you know, we'll find a good balance, and when it's appropriate, we'll bring him on. Because this show, and with the people that we have on this show, and it's great to have people like Sean joining the team. But we talk about the issues that real people are concerned with. You know, these are real issues. You know, racial realities, not being able to go to malls anymore because of the local community.
Not the polarized version of reality that the elite media wants to pretend is the only reality out there.
And if it's racist for you to have a preference and to want to protect your family from this type of behavior, and as Keith said, it's a behavioral issue, but that concerns us. You know, if that's what's, you know, I'm a racist then. I don't care. I'm a racist. If you want to protect my family.
We're not, because we were just saying, you know, if a 6'4", 300-pound individual attacks me with anger in their eyes, I'm pulling my gun. I don't care if he's a Chinaman. I don't care if he is an albino. I don't care if he's a Caucasian. Nothing. You know, basically, it's the behavior that provokes a reaction. It's just that the behavior is so much more prevalent and so much more typical among certain groups and another group.
That's right. And then we're talking about the black community again. And so that's what we're talking about. These are the issues that we concern ourselves with. We talk about them because no one else will. And it'd be nice if a candidate or a political party would address these issues as well. And to that end, it is now, the season is upon us, Keith. The season is upon us, during which we will begin the new presidential election cycle. You know, the election cycle begins about 2 hours, two years early now. And so it will begin here in January. People will start running for the presidency again.
And what do we expect? More of the same? Or do we expect that there'll finally be a breakthrough in race consciousness in the American political system?
Well, here's the thing. Kevin McDonald has written about this, what the Republican donor class is hoping to avoid, and that is a conservative or a populist candidate. In his article entitled Race in the 2014 Election, Kevin McDonald, the great professor, discussed the continuing racial polarization of America and how the Republican Party has become the party of whites. You know, I mean, they hate that. They don't want whites to vote for them. They're ashamed of it. But whites in both sexes and all social classes and age groups are voting Republican. This includes the white working class, despite the fact that the white working class does not favor the plutocratic policies of the Republican donor class. Commenting on the 2014 congressional elections, Kevin McDonald sketched the argument that a more populist Republican candidate that appealed to the white middle and working classes could win. The problem, of course, is with the Republican donor class. And here is an excerpt from an article that McDonald cited that I'd like to share, and then we'll turn it over to Keith for his commentary. What the Republicans need is a candidate who would cultivate the nurse on her second shift, rather than the Chamber of Commerce, Wall Street Journal, Adelson Zuckerberg, pro-immigration, pro-wars for Israel crowd, where the big Republican money comes in from. Kevin then takes over by writing, giving the obvious reality that the interests of the donor class are wildly different from the people who actually vote for the Republican Party and make up its white base. The donor class has come up with a strategy to avoid input from the base during the GOP primaries, which will be coming up soon, Keith. Decide on a consensus candidate before the primary season and thereby short-circuit the entire process. Of course, they claim it's because they think it will help them against Hillary and save them some money. But the real reason emerges about halfway through the article from the New York Times. Listen to this, Keith, and listen closely. And then I'm tossing it over to you because this is something you always talk about on this show. Dozens of the Republican Party's, this is according to the New York Times again, ladies and gentlemen, dozens of the Republican Party's leading presidential donors and fundraisers have begun privately discussing how to clear the field for a single establishment candidate to carry the party's banner in 2016. The conversations described in interviews with a variety of the Republican Party's most sought-after donors are centered around three potential candidates who have the largest existing base of major contributors and overlapping ties to the top tier of those who are uncommitted. Here's the names, Keith, that are being presented that the Republican donor base are saying that they're going to put forth all of their efforts into ensuring that one of these three are the Republican nominee in 2016. Here they come, ladies and gentlemen.
Drum roll.
Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. Mitt Romney. Now, nothing spells victory like Mitt Romney warmed over for the third consecutive cycle, and Governor Jeb Bush, because we haven't had enough Bushes in the White House. So Jeb Bush.
We just missed Bushes so badly here.
Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Mitt Romney, that's who the Republican Party are gearing the movers and shakers inside the Republican Party, not its base, mind you, but the people who contribute the big money, the Jewish donors.
And that's money talks and BS walks.
That's who they're gearing up to support, so you tell me, Keith.
Well, I'm glad we're connecting a major dot here. It's not by accident that Kevin McDonald calls it the Adelson-Zuckerberg contingent. Jewish power and influence controls our politics, okay? We have 75% of the money that's raised for national candidates in the Democratic Party raised by the Jewish community. This is what this bundling is. Bundling on the West Coast around Hollywood from San Francisco to San Diego. And then, on the other hand, we have the Republicans and at least 40%, maybe 45% of the money for national candidates, that's people for Congress, either the House of Representatives or the Senate, or the presidency, 40% of that money, again, comes from the Jewish community. And the Jewish community is what? They are the most liberal part of the community that passes as white in the United States of America. We have more Jews who live in America than any other nation on the face of the earth. 1 million more in America than they have in Israel. Why? Well, if they moved to Israel, there'd have to be a Jewish garbage man. There'd have to be a Jewish carpenter. There'd have to be a Jewish plumber. When they live in the diaspora, like in the United States, they can skim off the top jobs. And they do it through a weird combination of savvy, intelligence, and networking. So, and they're controlling our politics. Basically, what we're seeing forming, the storm clouds are forming, and they're forming like they always do. Blue State America, where most Jews in America reside, is going to pick the candidate of Red State America. Red states are called red states because they vote Republican in presidential elections. Isn't it ironic that we don't get our candidates coming from Red State America? And if there is one, like, for example, let's say that Jeb Bush got it. He would claim he's from Florida. He's not. He's a down east Yankee transplant from Maine. Remember when George H.W. Bush was the president? Whenever he took a vacation, he didn't go back to Texas. He went to the family digs at Kennebunkport, Maine. This is where they are. He just decided there were more prospects for earning big money in the oil patch in Texas than there was in the pine forests of Maine. Now, we've been scammed before. We won't be fooled again, as the WHO said. And we had better get a legitimate son or daughter of Red State America who knows our pain, is familiar with our angst, and has a real alternative to the, you know, moderate Republicans from Blue State America that have been served up in the past, or the Democrats. We need, just as Phyllis Schlafly said in 1964, a choice, not an echo. And if we don't get a choice, I don't know. I think the whole system.
Who's there to choose from in the Republican hierarchy? Who would you possibly run that has any sort of national recognition? Now, there are some good elected officials in the Republican Party on small local levels. I don't think it would go as high up as a congressman or a, you know, say maybe a Walter Jones who's been on this show or a governor or anything like that. But, you know, locally, maybe a mayor, maybe a state representative.
It's always a dark horse. You know what? It could be Rick Perry. Now, Rand Paul has proven himself to be a total turncoat. Even in the Democratic Party, there's a guy named Jim Webb who wrote the book Born Fighting, How the Scots-Irish Formed America, who has some amazingly populist conservative views mixed in with a lot of liberal views. But that would be a refreshing change if he, rather than Hillary Clinton, for example, were the Democratic candidate. But, you know, I just don't hold out much hope, unfortunately. Even Rick Perry, I think, is first and foremost a politician, and he'll bend with the wind. He knows what's going on.
Well, with that, we've got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to get to some news items that Keith has brought in, and then later in the third hour, we are going to look back on the year that was with the top 10 most memorable moments of 2014 for the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned for that.
Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.